1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The jury in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial heard today from Hallie Biden, the widow of his late brother, Beau, whom he was briefly romantically involved with. She described how she found the revolver in his truck, put it in a leather pouch, stuffed it into a shopping bag, and tossed it into a trash can outside a market near her home. Temperatures are soaring across the Southwest, and it's keeping first responders busy.
We really haven't had an opportunity to acclimate to the heat, so locals just aren't used to it. So even though they may have grown up here, they may have been out, you know, spending every summer out here, their bodies haven't acclimated to that.
Glenn Simpson with Community Ambulance in Southern Nevada. President Biden at Omaha Beach in Normandy, France for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. He pledged the U.S. would not walk away from Ukraine, comparing the fight to liberate Europe from the Nazis to today's war against Russian aggression. Stocks held their own a day after a record close, a Dow up more than 70 points. This is ABC News. A new milestone in space.
Lots of cheering here in the room. Big hugs.
Boeing Starliner successfully docked at the International Space Station, carrying NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams. If everything works out, NASA could certify Boeing to perform routine missions along with SpaceX. A surprise for viewers watching the test launch of the Starship rocket.
Suddenly, the video switched from the South Texas launch pad to a stage at SpaceX headquarters in California and company founder Elon Musk.
Right now, we are beginning to double your cryptocurrency.
The rocket launch became a promotional launch.
All you need to do is scan the QR code that you now see on your screens.
The code is a link to four different virtual currencies. Musk says his goal is to reassure the public about the security of crypto as an investment. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The USDA today rescinding its ban on Juul e-cigarettes and vape products. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband Jim would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McCullough on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Seven pro-Palestine protesters are under arrest after disturbing the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting today in Milwaukee. It's part of their ongoing efforts to get universities to cut ties with Israel. Former Waupun prison warden Randall Hepp and eight former guards and nurses are charged with felonies in connection with 2 out of 4 inmate deaths in the last year. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
There must be accountability for the actions and inactions of state employees. As the sheriff, I am angered at how these men were treated and how they died.
One inmate died of malnourishment. Another was dead for 12 hours before anyone noticed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee gets swept in Philadelphia. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. For the third straight day, the Brewers' bats stayed quiet, and Milwaukee was shut out by the Phillies 2-0 on Wednesday. It's the first time the Brewers have been swept this season. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers are right there with the best teams in baseball.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee was outscored 7-2 in the series. They'll have a day off before heading to play Detroit for 3 games against the Tigers starting Friday. Tonight is the first game of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks in the best-of-seven series. Today is the start of the state high school softball tournament in Madison. You can follow along on the WIAA's website. The Packers wrap up OTAs today ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. Training camp opens up next month. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The wind dying down this evening, the sky clearing out, and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, sunny, warmer, and breezy, high low 70s. A chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday night, then sunshine and low 70s for Saturday, and more sun for Sunday, high again low 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, my good friend Sandy Williams will join the show from Florida. We'll talk about the biggest political stories of the week and break down some of the issues affecting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. A big pinagigi to all of our supporters out there.
Speaking of which, we've been running around today, not in the same car, but here we are at the studio here at the plush mansion of Wendy Pilots here. And
yes, we made it back to the same Chapotake or teepee or however you want to say it.
No teepee, Chapotake. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. And I've been up since 4 this morning.
Oh, because you flew in. You just got back from New York.
I know. My arms are tired from flying in.
Eagle Clan represent.
I see Robert Lilligren shaking his head.
Oh, let's get him on.
Here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. And we got to see him earlier today at the market.
Yeah, Four Sisters Farmers Market kicked off their opening market day here at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. So if you didn't make it out there, come check it out next Thursday.
Yeah, it was great seeing you both there. It was a record attendance. Not only for just the opening, but for any market that we've ever held before. And, you know, thinking back, whatever, 10 years ago when we had our very first Four Sisters Farmers Market, I think it was 3 tents and maybe 2 vendors, something like that. And today, as we said, there were, you know, 20 vendors, music, information, and just such a great community spirit. Food truck.
Fried bread Hollow factory. Bronze.
Yeah. So it's so rewarding to see the growth and to have a place like that, right? That the community can come together, be together in community. Native entrepreneurs can advance their businesses. Yeah, it was a satisfying day.
Yeah, great work. And we have a Ho-Chunk that's facilitating that.
Yeah, Destiny Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, Destiny. Definitely. She has done an amazing job. This is her second year as the market manager, and she's growing it. And then you see the market today, a great event with hundreds of people at it. And there's so much underpinning that, you know, Destiny has put together entrepreneurial training classes for the vendors and for the broader community. We facilitate vendors getting certain certifications and things like that that they need. So it's not just a market. People are supported to be there.
Yeah, I always love to be there. I love hanging out. Like, it's one of the times I get to see you in person too, Robert, and it's always fun to catch up.
Yep, and I saw that Haley used our offices for a minute.
Yes, thank you.
She left a, and do some work. She left a quarter there, I think. She left a dollar or something, right, Haley?
Yeah, we did a little babysitting on the side.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, we have lots of baby medicine in our offices these days, which I love. People step in with their babies. Our staff have babies, you know. And then just talking about Destiny and Destiny Jones, the market manager. Her, now I might get this wrong, and if I do, I apologize, but I think it was her grandmother was the first woman tribal chair of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yeah. We talked about, or you talked with that with Arvina yesterday. And I got to just tell you, too, great job you and Arvina doing the show while I was at the Yankees game watching the Twins get pummeled.
Well, you know us Ho-Chunk women, we can do anything. But thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, we also went before we get talk nationally and what else you want to talk about. We were also at Red Lakes college opening, and what a beautiful building. And you know, if people don't know where that building is, I do know, because it used to be where Dome Souvenirs Plus was, where I used to buy a lot of stuff, right. And I got Harmon Killebrew's autograph and over the years of the Dome. And what a job they've done with that building.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. That's so that Dome Souvenirs, that's ancient history, right? That's Metro Dome. But the building's beautiful, historic. I couldn't get over there today, and I was kind of bummed. But one of our Minnesota tribes, Red Lake, has opened a tribal college right here in the city, which is a first. And and they held their grand opening today, and I heard it was spectacular. I heard there were tons of people there, but I just couldn't get away and get over there.
Plenty times for that. And then they have that upstairs. We had to leave, but they were jamming on some music. We had to do the radio show. But, you know, I feel like being around the Red Lake, I want to say politicians, but the tribal leaders, there's some good medicine going on there with the chairman. And I mean, they all, I've seen them in my different job over the years. Sure. And they're just good medicine.
Yeah, and I really appreciate Tribal Chair Tseki. He's very present down here in the Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities community. You know, they have developed a housing and services center right on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And now they have the second property. And they're one of the two, I would say, most present tribes, along with my tribe, White Earth, that owns property here and has invested, but a lot of the tribes are. And I think that's really important that tribes not only invest in the city, but their leadership has a presence here. When we reopened the Minneapolis American Indian Center on May 1st, there were, I had the count before. It was like a dozen, I think, tribal elected officials present. And and that matters to your urban populations, right?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, I heard today, I was always surprised to hear that Red Lake has 17,000 citizens, but half of them live in the Twin Cities, and also there's 50,000 Native Americans living in the Twin Cities.
Right. And so that's a statistic that's equal across tribes, whether they're Minnesota tribes or not. More than half. Live in cities and towns and not on reservations. And so that's a sort of a presence and relationships that it really benefits the community more broadly to build those tribal urban relationships. And I think we've made great strides here in Minneapolis in maybe the last 5 years or so.
Wow. And that's crazy. Just listening to one of the students spoke and just how important it is not only to have teachers look like you, but also support people. In a city, I forget about this because I live in my little house here in Mack Groveland, but a city that can be overwhelming to somebody that just came off the res, or even just young people.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for listeners who are not in the Twin Cities, Mack Groveland is a fancy schmancy neighborhood in St. Paul, where Robert lives. But
I married well.
Right. it is overwhelming, and that creates risks, right? People can come down here if they're not connected to community. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be at risk for landing in unhealthy places, right?
Yeah.
So the urban community here is really important network, and that's why I like events like our farmers market, because mm-hmm. it brings people together, and it's all kinds of people. You know, everyone yeah. who's walking up and down the American Indian Cultural Corridor, and some are working people or coming for their lunch and to do their shopping, and you know, some are our relatives who are living without shelter.
Yeah.
And everyone's welcome, and everyone gets taken care of, and it feels like community, and it feels so good.
Yeah, everyone's got to get down there. It's just a good vibe. It's good to see people that you see every week, and then there's people you haven't seen in a long time. Right. I saw a Ho-Chunk tribal member, Jim, that I haven't seen in a while, and
great.
It was good to see him being there, and it was great music today too, which I think having that going on is a great vibe.
Yeah, they had a little jingle in between speakers.
I love it. No, so it's every Thursday, 11:30 to 3.
Oh yeah, James Harvin, gotta shout him out.
Yes, definitely. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, that's a great coincidence, too. We have the CEO and president of Native American Community Development Institute. And I think, Robert, I've said the name of the Native American Community Development Institute for a month straight correctly, so I got to get some...
Bravo. Yeah. Extra credit points. Although I will point out, Haley, in graphic, I love that you put the graphic up. I love how supportive you are. We have a new Four Sisters logo. We're just really thrilled with that. Four Sisters is the umbrella of our food sovereignty work. We have an urban farm that's just really going gangbusters, and then of course the market today.
Just a good vibe, and I got to wear my Ho-Chunk hoodie. It was a little chilly, but you'll see me sporting shorts from now on the rest of the year. So
thanks for the warning. Thanks for the warning.
Oh, boo. Where's my boo button?
Right. But I did notice a couple folks come up and comment on your Ho-Chunk sweatshirt. So
yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever designed it, I just bought it. I don't know who designed it, but. You know, we're apt to steal some stuff here on Native Roots Radio and remarket it as our own.
No, we're not.
What was that? Vaccinative.
Oh yeah, and Vaccinative.
The art show at the.
What was that? Alternative.
Alternative. Was that current show. Yeah, Frank Buffalo Hyde's show.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. That is a tough show. It's you know, it's got so much humor in it. It's very Native, right? It's got so much humor in it, but it's got some really pointed content. You know, it's not all happy joy. And then one thing that the artist Frank Buffalo Hyde recommended in his opening speech is look at the titles of the pieces. And he's a very jokey guy, you know. And so there are these great titles. You kind of got to look at them. There are some of them are almost like riddles or they're like jokes. There's the big piece that features Pee Wee Herman. If you've seen that as you walk in. And the title of it is the first letter from every word from I Know You Are, But What Am I? So that word looks like some Native word. Like wow. What is that? You know.
What the heck? I just looked at that today.
I know. I was in there too for the first time. I'm like, I wish I would have known this.
So next time you're in, read the titles. They're part of the piece for the artist.
And just to remind everyone out there, what are the hours, Haley?
That's a great question, Robert.
We should ask Robert Lilligren then.
Right. So the galleries open the hours of the coffee shop, essentially, a Powell Grounds coffee shop. So 7 to 5, something like that. But yeah, if you're there, it's kind of always open. We have staff in there during those business hours and stuff. So,
well, we were talking today face to face about the color of the building. Do you want to elaborate on any of that? That was a pretty cool conversation.
Right. So our building is this tiny little building on the American Indian Culture Corridor. NACD, our organization, bought it, maybe 12, 13 years ago to site the gallery there and to create destinations on the American Indian Culture Corridor. But the idea was always to redevelop that site. And so it's just this, it's a little former commercial building. It's been a number of things, a restaurant and stuff. But originally it was painted brown. And I think when we first sighted NACD there, the idea was to not draw too much attention to yourself, not to draw whatever bad behaviors. But a few years back, it must be about 5 years or so ago, we're going to repaint the building. We went around and around on what color, and we ended up painting this fairly bright yellow color, which had been more in the trim of the building. So now it's bright yellow, and then it has some brown, some blue, and some orange trim, and it's very attention grabbing. Right. Even within the people in the building, there was a lot of conversation about how yellow to make it. And I just love it. I love the yellow. I love the energy of it and the attention it gets. And it's become kind of a landmark.
Right.
In the culture program. Oh, the yellow building. You know, building. And a few years back, the New York Times featured NACD and All My Relations Arts and our brilliant artist and gallery director, Angela Two Stars. And I was reading that article, and there's a great picture of Angela and me in front of the building and stuff. And they were talking about the vibrant. I remember this term. They described the Minneapolis Indian community as vibrant. And I love that. It's not, you know, it's so asset-based, so positive. And they said in the heart of the vibrant American Indian community is the little yellow building. Is, you know, probably, and I thought, yes, like that color was a total bullseye.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember the timeline. I don't know. It was it pre George Floyd? It was a different color, right?
Oh, really?
Yep.
The brown?
Yeah, it was brown. Tan. Yeah, and, you know. Yeah.
Well, I'm colorblind.
Okay. One of our partner organizations, and I'm not going to name them, who officed in the building until very recently, one of their senior staffers said, "I'm not coming to work every day in a yellow building or something." Like that. We had all these different samples of yellow, put them up. I'm like, "Okay, what? It's going to be yellow. Which one can you come to work to every day?" You know, but it was it was really an excellent
choice. Yellow. Yellow's happy, right?
Yes. And truth be told, it's not yellow inside the building. So, geez.
Right. What the heck? Good point.
God.
Yeah.
Well, hey. It's
become a bit of a landmark.
Yeah, calendar. That's exciting. And, you know, just at like Native American Community Clinics kind of gotten famous for their colon, blow up colon that they have.
Yeah.
So that's one of our native, two native clinics there, right in the cultural corridor, and they give out some of the best bling, right? And
right.
I think it was Indian Health Boards today that, yeah, so the NAC, Native American Community Clinic, has their colon stuff. I don't know if you've ever walked through it. They have this giant inflatable colon that you can walk through. And then today IHB was giving out little 3D kind of poop emojis.
Yeah.
Squeegees for like stress.
Yeah, stress ball poopies.
Yeah, a little stress ball with little eyes. We have some of the best bling in our community.
Yeah. Whoa. That was funny too. And if you remember, Robert, that kind of that famous play that was at the Walker mentioned the colon and
for the people.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, at the Guthrie.
Yeah, Guthrie. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They mentioned Powell Grounds Coffee Shop. They mentioned our farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
It was very locally based. That was really exciting. And for folks who aren't from the area, the Guthrie Theater is the premier mainstream theater here in venue in Minneapolis, and it's a really prominent regional rep theater across the country.
Yeah. So, hey, we got a few minutes here, and I always like to talk national politics. I'm really disappointed in Georgia. I had to read that twice. I mean, really, is that the whole reason behind putting that case on pause forever? Because the head of the lawyers there was having an affair with somebody. I mean, What the heck?
Yeah, nope. This is, this is about voter suppression, right? And skewing the ability to vote in elections this year and kind of discourage people to get to the polls, and which to me is the so an anthem of a democracy, right? It's about expanding the franchise, encouraging more people to the polls. We work in that space through NACD, through our Make Voting a Tradition work. But people who have power feel threatened, right? And they're going to do a lot of crappy things to keep people from getting to the polls and sort of postponing. I mean, for me, what was important is that in at least one criminal case, Trump has been found guilty, right? So he's a felon. Right, and he should talk.
He can't carry a gun anymore. He can't carry a gun anymore
in New York. But So that's how that should be our vocabulary, right? And so,
yeah.
Oh, did you see? What's his name? California. But all of a sudden, I can't remember his name. Not Salzburg, but he went through and listed all of the countries that Trump would not be allowed to enter if he were president as a felon. Right,
and
we want a president that can't even travel internationally because of his felon status.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're gonna try and have Native Roots Radio down at the convention in Chicago, and so I'm working on that with Wisdoms and that great organization that's had so many cool guests for us, with
very cool
Deb Holland.
Have you ever,
and Kamala's husband.
Yeah.
Right. Sharice Davis, your chunk sister.
Yeah. Yes. Person.
Have you ever been to a national convention or?
No.
They're intense. And, I was a delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention in Denver when Obama was given the nomination the first time. And it was a historic moment, right?
Yes.
Everyone there knew that we were part of making history. It was really intense. There was also this generational shift, sort of handing the party over to a new generation. And the emergence of what I call the new electorate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Majority of youth, people of color, it was really powerful, but it's intense. You're kind of in like la-la land during that experience. I hope you get down there.
Yeah, well, with my other job, I'm able to get on the floor, but I think what I want to do is get in the press and do some interviewing and things like that. So we'll have to see. And Haley.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I was sitting over here like, this would be so much fun. I'm ready to go down.
Right on. Great. Definitely. Yeah.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The jury in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial heard today from Hallie Biden, the widow of his late brother, Beau, whom he was briefly romantically involved with. She described how she found the revolver in his truck, put it in a leather pouch, stuffed it into a shopping bag, and tossed it into a trash can outside a market near her home. Temperatures are soaring across the Southwest, and it's keeping first responders busy.
We really haven't had an opportunity to acclimate to the heat, so locals just aren't used to it. So even though they may have grown up here, they may have been out, you know, spending every summer out here, their bodies haven't acclimated to that.
Glenn Simpson with Community Ambulance in Southern Nevada. President Biden at Omaha Beach in Normandy, France for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. He pledged the U.S. would not walk away from Ukraine, comparing the fight to liberate Europe from the Nazis to today's war against Russian aggression. Stocks held their own a day after a record close, a Dow up more than 70 points. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state is withholding over $16 million in aid from Milwaukee Public Schools' special education programs. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction told MPS on Thursday they won't receive funding because they still haven't submitted financial reports that were due last September. The DPI says MPS can receive the funds if they turn in their late reports. Wisconsin Democrats say they make their biggest gains in the state legislature in more than a decade, thanks to new maps. State Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbaum.
For the first time in over 20 years, we have a Senate Democrat running in every single race in the state of Wisconsin. Let me say that again. A candidate running in every race, challenging every single Republican candidate.
Democrats are also running in 97 of Wisconsin's 99 assembly districts. Meanwhile, Republicans are running in 11 Senate districts and 84 assembly districts. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. As another summer weekend approaches, there are numerous options when it comes to movies. Buddy cop action film Bad Boys Ride or Die, I know which one I would choose, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, opens wide Friday. Somehow the film is pulling a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're up for some horror, check out Ishana Shyamalan's directorial debut. Yep, that's M. Night's daughter, The Watchers, starring Dakota Fanning. Despite potential nepotistic brilliance, beware, Watchers is only receiving a 33% on RT. Opening in a limited release is the sci-fi fantasy drama Tuesday, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It opens on the coasts this weekend, but will find its way to a wider release next weekend. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, will enjoy a limited re-release on the big screen this weekend as well, if you're lucky enough to live close to one of the theaters. Check local listings and have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The wind dying down this evening, the sky clearing out, and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, sunny, warmer, and breezy, high, low 70s. A chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday night, then sunshine and low 70s for Saturday, and more sun for Sunday, high again, low 70s. It's 60 right now.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and so is the Maggie Dawn Show, as she kicks off a special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Certainly, having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 starts this week, a special segment on the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 to 4, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we'll be marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll hear from people that were there, and we'll ask ourselves together, what does this all mean today?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hey, give those guys a call at 612-597-0421 and have your concrete done by a real live native.
Yeah, there you go. Right, that's a way to do it.
And he does a great job. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, a Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis and Twin Cities, CEO and president. And then, Robert, we're going to have Bob Blake from Red Lake on right after you. And it's an all-Robert show. And
Yes. I like that. Then we also were scouting out some other Roberts, right? Robert Rice from Palo Alto.
That's right. And,
Robert, the lead at Kateri Church here. Catholic Church here.
Well, you know what'd be funny?
Robert
is,
Extravaganza.
Next time you do my show, maybe we can make that happen.
Already planning for it.
Right on. We got to get t-shirts made. Bob and Native. Bob and Native.
Something. We'll figure out something.
Right. Hey, so we got a lot going on before we let you go, Robert. There's so much stuff to talk about. Let's pick a couple. I know I thought I reached out to you guys in Native American Community Development Institute, but as you know, at AM 950 and Native Roots Radio are going to be in the Pride Parade, and we have an open invitation for you guys to come join us, and we'll get those rainbow resist shirts out.
Well, I got mine ready. I pulled it out. It's all ready to go. Metallic. Yeah, resist shirt. It's gorgeous. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a big month here in Minnesota, and we do have a huge Pride celebration. You know, I think back, getting a little nostalgic, I marched in my first Pride in 79 or 80 here. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was a teenager, and it was more of a protest march, you know. It was a 4-year celebration, and there were maybe 2,000 people down in the park and one little stage. And you know, now it's this 500,000 people attend this parade and festival, and stuff goes on all month long.
Yep. And we're going to be doing our show the day before the parade on Saturday at 1 p.m live there too, and
in Loring Park.
Maybe you can come on Uber down there and join us.
Yeah, listen, I could walk down there. I just live a few blocks from the park. Well, and it's significant. Loring Park, I told you about this there. I was invited to be a subject of an inaugural series of oil painting portraits to recognize LGBTQ, Two-Spirit, A-plus elders. Mm-hmm. There's a half a dozen of us or so that are having oil paintings painted of us. And they're hoping to unveil them on Pride Weekend, but it's going to be in July instead. And that's where my portrait is set, in Loring Park, because of its connection to the queer community. But also that, and when my dad grew up there, that was the heart of the urban Indian community here back in the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Wow.
That's where my dad grew up. And so it just felt like the right place to have this portrait set.
Well, and a big kudos for getting that getting that honor, because you were a city council member for so many years. And we don't bring that up every week, but if first time listeners, you have an unbelievable a resume when it comes to, and that's why I was begging you for a couple of years to be on the show. Remember, I was stalking you.
Oh yeah. Nope. I was happy to start on your Saturday show, but yeah, so that'll be great. And there's all kinds of Two-Spirit specific things happening as well. And I saw one of our respected elders and cultural carriers, Hope Flanagan, at the market today. And just a minute, I'm trying to confirm this, so I don't want to misinform people, but they had a bird walk, a Two-Spirit bird walk, but Wakan Teepee Center was sponsoring as well. And it was scheduled for Monday, but I think it might have been postponed, and I think it might be happening on Saturday instead. So, but I can't confirm that. So I don't. But also, we have a Two-Spirit Powwow coming up on July 13th, and it's our third annual. But planning's going on for it right now. A local Native theater company, New Native Theater, is really helping coordinate that, so people could go to newnativetheater.org and get information about that. But there is a lot going on. And
Definitely.
At NACTI, one of the ways we're observing Pride is we're going to publish a series of blog posts, essays, kind of things that might be poetry. We've invited four people, including respected elder Sharon Day, and Dr. Nick Metcalf, members of the Two-Spirit community, those of Jace Rowe, who's very embedded in community and provides a lot of direct services. And this idea kind of emerged just before Pride Month, because we were sitting out, so we had staff sitting out on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, Franklin Avenue, and they heard some very disparaging things said by some of our Native relatives about Two-Spirit people, and very derogatory language used. And so, you know, we all kind of processed through that as a staff, and we came up with this idea, here's what we're going to do in response, rather than sort of confront someone or something like that. We're going we're going to put some voices out there.
Well, and a great, another great thing, and I can't imagine when you were a city council how much you had to do this, but you coming on here on Native Roots Radio and our other guests during the week, we educate not only our white allies, but our natives.
Truly, truly. And it's been an interesting evolution, you know, learning, many of us find our ways back to our cultures and pick things up and have to kind of release things then that, you know, from our colonized educations. And I think really around this LGBTQ plus area, that Two-Spirit people were respected, that the binary, the gender binary, is a colonized framework. Right. It didn't exist in indigenous cultures here before.
They were revered, and I've always talked about and correct me if I'm wrong, but when the colonizers killed their medicine men, they killed their Two-Spirit people too at the same time to kind of wreck our the way of life and how we worked with each other.
Right. And now for me, it's just a joy to be where I am on my life pathway, my trajectory, and have colleagues like Sharon Day, like Dr. Nick Metcalf, like Dr. Anthony Stately, people that are assuming these traditional roles, right, of healers, educators, governance, nurturers. And it's like, okay, it feels good to be doing that. And I once heard Sharon Day, revered elder, Wehe Tamich, tell a story about these two men on her reservation growing up who were a couple. And later she went back and was talking to one of her elder relatives and asking about them. And she said, they must have been gay, right? And this elder relative said, oh, yeah, they were a couple. Everybody knew that, you know. And she said, you always invited them to any kind of event because they came early and helped set up. They stayed late and helped clean up. And they brought the best blueberry pie that any other reservation could make. And she said, well, why didn't we know that? Why didn't we celebrate that? And Sharon's elder said, well, we had to hide them because we were afraid they'd be threatened by the colonizers, right? By the agency, by the church and stuff. And then her elder said, perhaps we hid them too well. And I thought, oh my God, I heard her tell that story in public. It just hit me. But isn't that the story of colonization, right? Hiding ourselves. Just to survive, So,
well, and that goes back to that story about whistling in the dark, calling in spirits. I mean, really, was that just so you could hide? And was that a story that we were brought down with? Know what I mean? Because we didn't want to get found out and caught.
Right. Well, and that's why, again, being older now, it's about visibility, right? It's about being seen. It's about being heard. It's about celebrating cultures. And so when you live at this intersection, you know, Two Spirit and a Native, it's like, yeah, it's kind of, I wonder what that did to me, you know, growing up feeling I had to hide parts of myself, you know.
Right, right. Well, and you know, we're pretty progressive. We're roughly the same age, but not everyone was when we were young, and definitely the generation before wasn't progressive in many ways. So kudos to you that you're still here, really.
Well, you too.
Yeah.
I think you're a little older than me, right?
Or... Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah.
Oh, are you? No. Is that older? No.
63.
Okay. All right.
What's 63. I think you graduated in 78 and I graduated in 79.
Okay. So I'm an elder here. Respect me. Respect
me. Respect me.
Yeah. We're learning more here now. Right? Well, what else you got? We're gonna get Bob Blake from Red Lake on here real soon. What else do you have, Robert?
You know, there's the national scene, which is such a mess, the kind of international scene. I thought President Biden's words were very strong in his speech today about democracy isn't free and it's not for a given.
Right.
And that we're having to fight for it now. And then you see, you know, the fascist MAGA movement just, you know, just battling democracy. Mm. And so, but that's a longer talk conversation.
Right. So, well, did you see poor Fauci was up there and it's just like his whole family was threatened and the guy's just trying to do his job and been doing his job for years, and it's because of all the misinformation of the MAGA people.
The MAGA people, Steve Bannon has to report to jail on July 1st for his sentence, and he's crying like a baby. And then this is really sad. At the Pennsylvania state legislature, they booed the January 6th police officers who defended the Capitol, who defended our democracy, and they literally, Republicans booed them, hissed them, and stood up and walked out. They were there to be recognized for their service. It's like, yuck.
Is
this who we are? It is disgusting. And
they're the people that are supposed to be behind the blue line. They're supposed to be
all the law and order, and then they have a felon leading their party. So they're not really the law and order of the party, right? It's, you know, it's an interesting place to be. You know, we have to be aggressive, work hard, make sure that every good progressive voter gets to the polls this fall. And we need to hold our elected people accountable and reconcile our approach. It's not, you know, you're not going to agree with everything a candidate does, but we need to find our way to the bigger picture and do what's best for our people and for the country.
Great words to end with. Robert, always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's always fun and always educational.
My pleasure.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you next week. Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear with the Solar News.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Handling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Is that a... Did I hear Robert Blake howl in the background? Is that the...
I think that's a Bob Blake right there.
Nice. Hey, we got Bob... We got Bob Blake, the solar bear with the solar news. And hey, good to see you, Robert. Hey. Keeping the tradition here of the Robert Show and Haley.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, you want to know something?
Yes, I do.
So in 1996, we were asked, me and my security team at it was the Quest. It was the Glam Slam switching over to the Quest nightclub.
Yep.
And we were asked by the promoters for the Gay Pride Parade if we would do security for them and so do security for that event because nobody would do security for them.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and we did, and, you know, because... I want to let y'all know, like, one of my best tipping nights was when the gay community would come into the club. Like, yeah. Literally, that was like my best. That was like one of my best tipping nights. Like, I would get so many tips. So yeah. I loved working those nights, right? But
as you guys don't know, Bob Blake was security for Prince and traveled all over the country, all over the world with Prince. And, mm-hmm. and now he's telling Prince stories on Native Roots Radio. Awesome.
Well, this isn't a Prince story. This is actually when I would work at the nightclub. But we also did the security for Cinco de Mayo over on the west side.
Oh,
when they couldn't get security to work over there. And so we did Juneteenth. We did all of these cultural events and events that now everybody is like falling over themselves to go work these events and getting these big contracts and blah, right. blah, you know what I mean? But yeah. we were back in the day when, yeah, we'll do that for you for $1,500, you know what I mean? And in a right. sandwich and a Coke, you know what I mean? Like that was really what we were doing, but it was all about community. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yep. you know, that's really what it came down to be. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I've been a friend of, you know, the gay community, of the Latino community, the Black community, you know, in all this work that I was doing back then. Right. Mm-hmm. And so now to see these events become these big, you know, monstrosities, it's like crazy because I remember when like nobody wanted to work with them, like nobody wanted right. to work with, you know, and I just, in my mind, because I wasn't raised that way, Robert, I just couldn't understand that level of ignorance. You know what I mean? Like right. it just like it was so hard for me to like, you know, like rationalize that in my mind. But it's like you said, Robert, every generation it gets better, you know,
yeah.
like. And I heard you say that in your interview with Robert Lilligren, every generation it gets better.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know if I've done this with you yet, but we talked to Robert and talked to New Native Theater. As we're going to be in the parade as Native Roots Radio with AM 950, and I'm throwing that out to you with 500,000 people throwing out candy and handing out solar bear stickers and
yes
you're invited.
I need to go do that with you. Absolutely. When is that?
That's the 30th. So the 29th is the Pride, beginning of Pride weekend, and we're doing a live show out on Pride on Saturday, and then Sunday's the big 500,000 people at parade, and we'll be in it, and maybe I'll pull out my
trumpet. I am going to wear my Solar Bear gear. I'm going to, because they need Solar Bear with the solar nose. Oh, that'd be so awesome. Thank you for the invite. Absolutely. Yeah. And Robert brings me up to the solar news with the Solar Bear. Wonderful segue, by the way.
Thank you. I'm a pro.
I want to let you know, so the new solar data sheet just came out.
I saw perfect that.
Perfect timing for today's show. Today, over 6% of U.S. electricity comes from solar energy, almost six times share a decade ago. Wow. That is unbelievable. Number of solar businesses in the U.S., 10,000 plus. Thank you, the Biden administration, for the wonderful Inflation Reduction Act that is giving this business and opportunities from around the country for folks that are in underserved communities and folks that would never have their own businesses before to now have this opportunity to create their own business. And we know small businesses, Robert, are the backbone of this country and the backbone of this economy. Mm-hmm. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 36 million households. 36.1 million households, Robert. That is crazy. In 2023, a new solar project was installed every 39 seconds.
Wow.
Every 39 seconds. Currently, Robert, there are 263,883 people installed in the solar industry. 200.1 gigawatts amount for solar currently installed in the U.S. And to help address climate change, the solar industry set a goal, 30% electricity generation by 2030. Robert, I want to let you know that we can meet our net zero goals probably by 2050. We can defeat climate change, everybody. That's what the Solar Bear wants to tell everybody out there right now, that although we do have a lot of this carbon baked into the system already, we can reverse this for future generations if we take action now. By the way, Robert, the ozone layer, they're saying, is now repaired.
Wow. And I remember everyone back in the disco days, and I even used some hairspray myself, was burning a hole in that thing with Aquanet.
15% of U.S. homes will have a solar photovoltaic system by 2030. 450 gigawatts of new solar capacity will be installed over the next 10 years. That is ridiculous. And solar PV price decline over the past 10 years have been 43%, making this almost being able to be on par with natural gas. That's the price of this energy and how far it has come down. Carbon emissions reduced, Robert. 53 million vehicles are off the road. This is equivalent to 53 million vehicles being off the road. 25 billion gallons of gas not used because of solar. 3.7 billion trees planted. And this is the equivalent to shutting 57 coal-fired plants. This is the carbon emissions reduced because of the actions that we are collectively taking across the country against the climate crisis. And you know, that whole prophecy that says, yes, this is remarkable, everyone. All the people from all the colors of all the world were going to come to Turtle Island one day and fight a great problem. And I believe this is the prophecy that they were once talking about, which is the climate crisis. So I think that this is great news, and I'm so happy that I'm in this industry. I love what I do, Robert. You know that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I just want more and more people to be excited about this, because we're like saving the we are going to save this planet.
Well, I got chills when you said that. I'd like you, there's a minute left. I'd like you to say that again and slower, because that prophecy is coming true. And I hope it happens before 2050, because I'll be 90. And, you know,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, it's my birthday, and I'll treat you to some great surprises. Even I'm not sure what's being planned. I can tell you that Laura Weigert from the Fox Cities Chamber will join us with some great news to share. And then, live music from 7,000 Apart.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.